He goes, you have roofing sheets? I go, yeah, we already got them. He goes, we'll put those up too. So he's supplying me all the steel, putting them up, putting the roofing sheets on, and I go, his name is Kiro. I go, Kiro, how much is this going to cost me? He goes, just the money for the steel. I go, what about the labor? He goes, don't worry about it. You're a church. I'll take care of it.
Right.
And I look at him. Now, he's a Hindu. And I go, Kiro, thank you so much. And I go, that's wonderful. I go, you know why? He goes, why? I go, you must have been a Christian in another life. And then I had this Muslim guy. He supplied bricks for me to go past window level. He gave me a well, like half the price, because he was putting in five other wells and they got a good deal. He gave me a pump. I wish he'd give me a pump for my house. He gave me a pump for the well free. He gave me a, he built a tower for the holding tank, gave me the holding tank. And he's a Muslim. Yeah. And he owned like restaurants and butcheries. And you know what a gyro is, right? Well, a big thing over there, they call them shawarmas. They're like gyros. He goes, Joe, if you let me sell shawarmas in the back of the church,
no,
I'll finish off the rest of the inside for you. And he goes, and this is what we'll do. Because all of his businesses were called After 10. He goes, and we'll call it After 10 Bible Baptist Church. And I go, Hassan, beautiful. I go, because these people don't come to After 10 anyways. So that'll work. All right, let me get this. Press enter.
That will work. We've got no signal.
No signal.
Just press enter. Just
press enter anyways.
I'll press enter again.
Press enter?
I'll press enter again.
Okay. I'll try and talk. I really got to work on a better video. The white guy is me. White woman is Jim. You see where this is? See this road? The college, the university, is just a quarter of a mile past that. The main road is past that. I looked for land for years. I couldn't find it. Finally, I got that land. The college kids, just hundreds of them, and they come. It's not kung fu. We have about 20 people in the deaf ministry. Got a lot of kids ministries. See, they did that. All the metal work. They did all the metal work for me free. That's our leadership right there. All those guys were 10 years old when they first started coming to our church. Had a video of them singing and picking their nose and everything. Elvis was in a car accident, the pastor of the church. We got to get him into that house. But we can't finish the house until we finish the wall fence. We already had a break-in just last week. They sold the sound system. This is the house that we're building for Elvis. A man out in Colorado, a pastor out in Colorado, a friend of mine, gave us $20,000 to build the house. We still got about maybe $5,000 more. This is where the wall fence has to go. We got to get that wall fence up. People were trying to steal some of the land. Now, there's Damon with a beard. Six children. This is a ministry he has. out in the bush, you can just flop. This is a well that he put in. We already gave him money for a well, another well. This is the kind of stuff you see out in the bush. But he's actually going to build them a church. They make their own bricks. See, we couldn't get away with bricks like that in the city. And that's how basically the church is going to look. And there's a well being put in. These kids are lining up for shoes. Remember Felicia? Do you remember the shoe project at all? Beautiful sunsets. You see that sky? You know, that's not enhanced. You know what that is? That's copper dust all over the place. You know, the copper is everywhere. Dust is in the air. And it creates just beautiful sunsets. All right. So, I was trying to figure out, what can I preach? So, what was the name of the song?
M-I-C-K-E-Y.
Not that song. Count the cost.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. did you have your eyes open, though, and saw the... Okay. All right. If you would, please. You know, I was so excited. I remember sitting with Shane one time, and Shane's going to me. He goes, "My father's coming." And I'm going, "Oh, man, good. I got a lot of questions for him." And he goes, "What are you going to ask him?" I go, "I want to know about the aliens." Do you know where he used to work?
Yeah, Roswell.
Yeah. He goes, "There's no aliens." And he's telling me, "There's no aliens." You know, that's because he has to say that. Or they'll come, the black helicopters will come and take him away. Yeah. But we had a good time. We went and visited a nice castle together in Italy. I'll tell you, Italy's a rough place. People don't want to hear the gospel. It's just rough. But I'm glad I'm getting back in with Africa. And like I said, I have some serious health problems. If you would, you could pray for me, keep me in a prayer list. I have pain all the time, okay? So just write down, Joe Pain. Yeah, not Joe is a pain, okay? Pain, yeah. So if you turn in your Bibles, go to Luke. Do I want that verse? Yeah. Go to Luke chapter 9, please. Beautiful. Okay, Luke chapter 9. Just stay there. I'll tell you what we're going to do. You know, when God first... Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for these people. Thank you for them having me here.
Thank you.
Help us, Lord, that we listen to your word today, Lord, and heed it, and obey you, Lord, with all our hearts and our lives, Lord. Thank you for this church being involved with the Great Commission. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. When I was first called to the mission field in Zambia, Africa, the cost was a loss of family, friends, security. I mean, I had a little... I didn't have Leah. I had Damon. I had Adina. And I had Anna and Joshua. But I didn't have Leah. And my Anna was 2 years old. Joshua was 8 months old. And I remember leaving out of Buffalo Airport and my mother being there crying her eyes out and going, "Bring my babies back to me." She never got to see them again. Sad. But you know, she will see. Because outside of my family, she was the only one that actually ever got saved. You know, because we always broke into a Bible study when we got together.
and she ended up getting saved. You know, so, you know, you're going to lose or leave your family, leave your friends, leave all the security and stepping into the unknown by faith. And that's really what it is. It didn't cost you anything to be saved, but it will cost you to be a Christian, as a follower of Christ, a disciple. There are too many people. Listen, I need a volunteer. Who wants a volunteer? You know what? It's going to cost you to be a Christian. It's going to cost you to be a disciple. Okay. Oh, you're getting ready to get up. You knew I was going to call him.
Yeah, wow, my legs are long.
What's your name?
Tracy.
Tracy, you know what we're doing?
What?
I'm the coach.
Yeah.
You play football?
No.
Trump?
No.
What'd you do?
Nothing.
Cheerleading?
No.
Pretend you're playing football.
Okay.
All right. So Tracy's coming to me. I'm the coach. And Tracy comes up and he wants to be on the team. And Tracy comes up. Now I'm going to switch roles. You're going to be the coach and I'm going to be you. And I'm going to be coming to the coach. And the coach, you know what? You're going to say to me, what do you want?
What do you want?
I want to be on the team, coach.
What do you want to play?
I don't know. I could play anything. Make me a quarterback. All right, so now, this is the deal, though, coach. I got to tell you something. How often do you practice?
How often do you practice?
Well, I hear you practice like maybe 3-4 times a week and on Saturday. I'm only going to be able to practice 2 days a week.
You're not going to be able to
take it. No, listen to me. I want the uniform. Do you understand that? Mm-hmm. I want the uniform. I can only come 2 days a week. Now, when's the games?
It don't matter. You're not going to
No, you don't understand.
No.
I need to be on that team. I want that uniform. I want to be able to say, listen, I'm on the Dresden High football team. This is my jersey. You see that name on the back, Matichura? It goes all the way around to the front. That's what I want. Why can't I be on the team?
You're not gonna come to practice.
Well, I can't make all. I make some.
Well, you're not going to be on the team.
Well, you're not fair.
Yes, that's fair.
No, I don't think so. Sit down. So, you know what? Do you know what else is like that? What?
Life.
Well, Christians.
Christians.
Christians want to be on the team. But you know what?
They can't be.
They don't want to make the requirements of the team.
Yeah.
You know what? You want to be my disciple? I want you out here. We're going to go soul winning. You know what? Did he leave the angels to go soul winning? No. Who did he leave to go soul winning? Who did Jesus Christ leave behind to finish the work that he started?
Yeah.
Us. Yeah. And how many Christians are actually doing it? No. I went to a church of 500 people once. And you know what? Me and my daughter Adina, we went out for their soul winning night. And Adina and I and three other people showed up. And I go, where is everyone else? They go, this is usually it. 500 people. You know, it's not right. It's not right. We all want, but what are you? Oh, I'm a Christian. Are you? There are too many people that want to call themselves Christian, but don't want to pay the price or consider even what it will cost them. You know, I'm sick of this. People going, oh, you know what? Just come as you are. Yeah, and then you come as you are, and you know, and then you better change. You better stop that sinning, you know, and start your praying and start worshiping. And, you know, too many people think that they can just come as they are because they got that rock music. How come we don't have rock music here? They got that rock music going on and they haven't left a thing. They don't leave much. Luke 14:28. What time do we end? Luke 14, 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether ye have sufficient to finish it? You know, we had a Pentecostal church that started way before us, 10 years before us. I mean, we started going, and we worked when we got the money. We put the money into it. I ended up getting shamed by a lost person in our church. I got to window level, and this guy wasn't saved. I know he wasn't saved, and he just started coming to our church, and he's looking at the building, and he goes, "Why aren't you going any further?" I go, "Well, right now we don't have the money." He goes, "Don't you think if you start working, God will give you the money? Don't you have faith?" I go, "Listen, we got this backwards. I preach to you." But you know what? He made me feel terrible. And you know what I did? I started working, and the money started coming in. You know how else the money started coming in for that church? It started coming in by, I told the people, we didn't have any money. And I told the people, you want America to build your church? No. Stop being a bunch of beggars. This is what you got to do. You got to sacrifice. You know the word? Sacrifice. When God sees you sacrificing, He will step in.
Amen.
And we'd go, we'd run out of money, and then they start sacrificing and giving what they had. And I know they were sacrificing. I knew everybody. And then church would send us money. I go, "You see how it works? This is how it works." And that's how we built our church. That's how we built that. Okay. In Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62. Let's read that. Luke 9, 57 to 62. Okay. "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." Can I get a glass of water, please? I did this in the car coming up here, too. "Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Thanks. Jesus talks to three people. He tells them what the cost is for following him. Will you count the cost in your own lives to be a disciple and follow him? To be called a Christian. To wear the Christian jersey. You know, it's a good illustration. You know, we want to be on that team, but we don't want to pay the price. We want to be Christians, but we don't want to pay the price. We have enough people walking around who aren't saved that call themselves Christian. I remember Jan and I walked into Walmart one time. This car pulls up and slams on the brakes in front of us and said, "Here, have some of our material." And it was Jehovah's Witness. And I go, no, thanks. And he goes, no. And they go, "We're Christians too." They call themselves Christians. Mormons call themselves Christians. Unbelievable. And a lot of people who are saved, who don't know or don't care what is expected of them when they take the name Christian. They want the uniform. You know, when Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord, what happened to him?
He got hurt.
And you know what? He walked away a little differently, didn't he? And when you get saved, you should walk away a little differently too. And that change in him never went away. He kind of walked like your pastor does. Yeah. You've been wrestling? Yeah. We have three people Jesus talks to as he travels down his path. The first person, Luke 9:57. Look at that. And it came to pass that as they went in the way... Now, what is the way? The way is a path. Now, what's your path? Is it the Lord's path? You know, Proverbs 14:12, you don't have to turn there. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end is the way of
death."
Yeah, there are two ways, the Lord's way and man's way. What path are you on? You know, I had a friend. His name was Snake Man. That wasn't his real name, but that's what everyone called him. And, you know, he was, when we worked at the post office, he was in charge of the carriers. And the carriers used to complain and moan. They'd complain and moan if they had to go out on a beautiful day. That's just their nature, okay? Anybody was a carrier in the post office here? No? Good. Just a bunch of whiners, whiny babies. Yeah. So they'd whine and cry to John, and John would look at them and say, "Brother," they go, "you don't have to go out there." And they go, "That's right." And they said, "Brother, it's the path you chose. The path you chose." And that's exactly right. When Jesus called his disciples and said, "Follow me," he meant they had to walk the same path he was walking. You know, there are a lot of people who followed Jesus but never heard his call. There were a lot of people who followed and never committed themselves to him. Go to John 6:26, please. Tracy, where'd you get this? Out of my well? I noticed you only filled it up halfway. Is that all that came out? That's all that would come out at my house. Okay. John 6:26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves and were filled." These people followed because they were not seeking the Messiah, but they were seeking to have their bellies filled. It's not too much different today. People today are coming to church. They're coming to church to see what they can get, what the church has to offer them, what Jesus can do for them. Who was it? Your message today. You know what? Some people think that once you get saved, all your problems are going to go away. They're not going to go away. You know what? Some of those problems were caused by mistakes that you made in your life. And what do we have when we make a mistake? What's the word? Consequences. We have consequences in our life that happen. Right. They expect Jesus to get them out of their problems. You know what? Another thing about Christians, they think everything is going to be different with them. But I have found out through the years that a lot of times, if you were a jerk before you got saved, good chances you're going to turn into a Christian jerk. Yeah. Yeah, I was a jerk. The first person said, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." Didn't Peter say that too? You know, go to Matthew chapter 26, please. Matthew 26. All right, Matthew 26, verse 34, the back part of it. It says, Before, everyone there? Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. You know, the world always gets that wrong. And then in verse 75, Peter remembered the words of Jesus, and he went out and wept bitterly. You know, we haven't had that drastic of something happen to us, but you know what? Things like that do happen to us when we need to trust in the Lord and we don't, and we try to do all kinds of different things to circumvent or bypass that and do what we can to do it on our own and everything, and finally we end up and we fail miserably. But then you know what? And then the Lord gives it to us. After we finally fail and we finally give up and say, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, and the Lord gives it to us. You know, my land, it wasn't my land, it's our land. My land is... Okay. Our land... Excuse me, ma'am, are you laughing at me? Don't laugh at me. Okay. Our land in Africa, okay? Listen... I search to find a piece of land to build our church on. Every single time I got a piece of land, I put an application in with the council. You see, the council gives you the land, and they give you a 99-year lease. And I find a piece of land, I put my application in. Sometimes it's gone 6 months. I finally go to check on it and they go, oh, somebody else got that land. I go, what are you talking about? I was the first person to put an application. I go, sorry. You know who would always get it? Council members. Of course. And you know what they would do with it? They'd sell it, which is illegal, but they would do it anyways. They'd make money. Finally, I ended up getting a piece of land. I had to buy it through a lawyer. A lawyer had it. And it took us a long time to finally get a place to build our home, God's home. But I'll tell you something. We waited and waited. Everything was falling through. Finally, it came through. And we got this piece of land. Okay. Here is where our church is. Here's our church. Here's a township here, a township here, and a township here. And they're all equal distances. All easy to get through because they all walk. Perfect location. Over here is the second university in the whole country of Zambia. And it's a... Did I do something? What? About a quarter of a mile down the road, quarter of a mile to the main street, you couldn't ask for a better piece of property. It was just accessible to everybody. It was wonderful, wonderful. Okay. Back to the first person. Luke 9:58. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Jesus is saying, be careful what you say. Count your words. Do you know where I'm heading? There's no luxury. There's no comfort. There's no glory. There's no earthly rewards. We need to count the cost before committing ourselves to meaningless words. And that's what we do a lot of times, meaningless words. Luke 14:28 said, for which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Jesus says, I'm heading for the cross. Do you still want to follow me? I'm heading for persecution. You still want to follow? I'm heading for a lonely place. You still want to follow me? I'm heading for standing alone. A lot of people, especially young people, don't want to stand alone. I'm hated by the world. And if they hate him, they're going to hate you too. 2 Timothy 3:12. Very familiar verse. Are you there already? Oh, 2 Timothy 3:12. Okay. Y'all know this verse. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know, when I was in Africa, it was really funny. Because you know what? Pentecostalism was rampant everywhere. And Jehovah's Witness. But you know what? Pentecostals everywhere. Prosperity gospel. And I go, okay, guys, all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. There's your prosperity. Are you still sure you want to follow me? The way or path of a Christian may seem hard at times, but it could be a great reward at the end. But you know what you need to do? Surrender your will. You need to surrender. You know, we can lose a blessing. We can lose blessings by, you know, going along with God, but, you know, just fighting it every tooth and nail. But, you know, we need to surrender our will. Now, the second person, verse 59. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Well, I have family problems to attend to first, he's telling them. He wasn't ready. He needed more time before he would follow Jesus. Verse 60, Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Jesus says, now is the time. If you don't seize if you don't seize God's offer when he gives it to you, there's a real good possibility he's not going to give you another offer. You know, he wants to see who's going to be faithful, who's going to be diligent, who's going to be stepping up to the plate. Seize the offer. Now, you know what? Oh, you got a pen here. You know, I did this illustration in another church one time, and it was a brand new church. And the whole back wall was huge, and it was all white. It was like, it was only maybe 2-3 weeks old, the whole church. And I asked the pastor, I go, hey, you got a pen? He goes, yeah, he gives me a pen. And I'm walking away. He goes, what are you going to do? I go, I'm going to put a dot on the wall. He goes, no, you're not. I go, yeah, I am. I go, I can do it, don't worry. So I went over and can you see the dot I put on the wall? You can't see that? It's there, but you can't see it. Is it too small? All right, go sit down. You know what? Pretend it's a big white wall, okay? And I had that little dot there. And you sure you couldn't see it? Well, that little dot represents 0 to maybe 80 years old or so, the time you have here on earth. Okay? That's it. The rest of it is eternity, a picture of eternity. You know what we do? We concentrate so much on that little dot on the wall. Stinking little dot. In fact, that was the name of the message that it came from. The stinking little dot on the wall. Then I had another message. Your stinking little problems. And then Adina calls me up and she goes, Dad, you got to come up with one more. You know, you got to have a trilogy. But this stinking little dot on the wall represents all our life here on earth and all our problems and all our everything. And this is what we concentrate on when we have all of eternity. And you know what? It's like we don't care sometimes. All we care about is getting by in this world and doing the best we can in this world. And we forget or that we're going to another place. You know, the offer may not be made again, and you spend too much time with the dot on the wall than you should with eternity. And if you say, you know, my hands are just so dry. And if you don't, and you will go, if you don't seize the offer, you're going to go through your life wondering sadly how God might have used you, what He could have done with you. But you said no. You said no, not now. I'm not ready. No, you can't have my child. My child wants to be a mission. No, you're not going to go on the mission field. I want you to stay home here. You said no. God's not going to call you on your time. He's going to call you on His time. And are you ready? Are you ready? He will put your life in order if you follow Him. If you get off your path and get on His. You know, it's a hard path. It's a hard path to travel sometimes, but your life will be all the better for it. John 10:10. You don't have to turn there. You know this verse. John 10:10. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Boy, I remember when I was lost and I was drunk and I was high and everything was... you know, I got things that happen now, but you know what? I don't... We're going to get through all the problems. You know, God will walk us through it. We got problems. We got no water. You know, but that's okay. It'll work out. Everything will work out. But man, I'll tell you, before I had a problem, it was like the end of the world. And I had a lot of them because I didn't have God to comfort me through the problems. You know, you want life more abundantly, you know, jump on the ship. Get on the path. Don't look back. He said, follow me. But are you ready? Now the third person. Uh-oh. Can we go to 17 after?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Verse 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. Not a bad request. It's not bad. But what is he really saying? Let me first go and see all that this world has given me before I come and follow you. Man, I'll tell you, I know a guy that he said he was called to be a missionary. And you know what? He said, well, it's not right yet. There's some things I want to do. I want to, you know, be able to get this job and do some things in this job. And you know what? He did some things in the job. And he made a lot of money. And he's got a beautiful house and a beautiful family. And guess what? He's nowhere close to the mission field. When God calls you, He's not saying, hey, come on, let's go. In a minute. Just wait. No. What Jesus is offering him is the unknown. All his life, all his security may have come from his family, his house, his job, his money, his possessions. You know, he don't want to give that up. A lot of people don't want to give that up. You know, sometimes, and I'm not saying that it happens all the time, but sometimes women are involved. A person will get married and the woman that he marries, he might not have really prayed about, and she's really not fit for the mission field. And ends up not going because He didn't wait on the woman to marry that God wanted. I remember when Damon, did he tell you his testimony? Damon, we're sitting down, and he's going to be, I go, listen, you're going to be a missionary, you're going to go on your own, and this is what I want you to do. I go, I want you to get married. You need to get married. And he goes, I got to get married? I go, yeah, you really should, you know. You don't want to do this alone, but you need the right woman. I go, go inside and go get me the list for our church, you know, the telephone listing. He goes, okay, comes back, I'm looking it over. And looking at it, and put it down. I go, I got the woman for you. He goes, who, Dad? I go, Lisa Overheiser. He goes, no way. He goes, I don't want to marry her. I go, why? He goes, I grew up with her. I go, that's okay. That's good. I did the same thing with Elvis in Africa. We did the whole same scenario, and he ended up marrying her too. But Damon goes, no. I go, well, listen, she's coming here. I didn't tell him that then. We found out she was coming with a group from our church. And I go, when she comes, all I want you to do, not say a word of what we've talked about, is, he goes, I don't think she'd be a good missionary wife. I don't think she'd be able to handle it out here. I go, you just watch. That's all you do is observe. And he did. And you know what? When it was all over and they left, he goes, you know, Dad, you were right. She would be a good wife. She would be good for here. I go, just remember one thing. Father knows best. I didn't say that. Remember what he said to the young ruler, Matthew 19:21. If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Remember when he said in Luke 12:34, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, we get tested all the time to see where our heart is, what our thoughts are on, what's important in our life, and to see what our priorities are. Do we care more about God's will and plan for our life, or do we care more about the things that we can acquire in our life? Lot and his family were put to the test where the heart was, and we all know the outcome of his wife. Her heart was still back towards Sodom. You know, that was where all the riches were for her life. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Genesis 19:26. She lost what God had for her because, one, she was afraid of the unknown, and two, she had too many cares of this world. And the cares of this world, didn't somebody say this verse today? And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Mark 4:19. Luke 9:62. Turn there. Turn to Luke 9:62. I think we were there, right? And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. What has God called you to do that you have given him some kind of an excuse as to not to do it? Or might, but you'll do things in on your terms, on your time. Have you counted the cost? Jesus said, the road might be rough, the road might be lonely, it might be hard, you might lose some friends, maybe family, your status, maybe even your house and your possessions. These things sometimes seem like the most important things we have, but they're not. They're not. It may be hard, very hard, but Jesus has sent help. He sent us the Comforter, John 14:16. And I pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. You know what? Have you counted the cost of what you might lose in eternity? Do you remember the dot that you can't even see? It's so small in the scheme of things. Think about that as you go through your day. What am I spending my life on? Am I spending my life on a dot that's not even noticeable in the scheme of eternity? Or am I doing something that will make a difference? Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for them allowing me to preach here today. Sorry I went a little bit long. Just help us, Lord, that we can just do what I said. Remember. Remember the dot on the wall. Remember that we need to look at eternity, not on the present, not on something temporal. We thank you, Father, for giving us the Comforter, for helping us to get through the problems that we still have, Lord. But help us to please you and not man. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We have a song, book 308. Let's stand for an invitation. All to Jesus I surrender. Let's not sing a lie. Let's go ahead and sing the truth and make it our prayer. 308 in our songbook. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His